Hello everyone, it's round four and I'm back to do the turning points. And another person is back, Richard. How are you, Richard?
I'm very well, thanks, David. Yourself?
I'm good. Much
That's
better after
fucking
last week. I feel a lot better now. I don't know if you guys saw, but I put another episode out, the normal episodes as well. So I'm back
yes.
twice. Everything's
Well, I
happening
hope you
today.
didn't make yourself too ill with chocolate over Easter.
No, my dog did, but that's a different story. We don't want to get into that. But
Oh,
yeah, that's okay. It all worked
dear.
out okay
I hope
eventually.
you're
But
okay.
not a good night. But yeah. Anyway, it's all happening, I suppose. Deep into the season after round four, I suppose it's starting to feel like football season's actually started. We're not just doing trials anymore, I suppose, and it's I don't know. I think the quality of the football was a lot better, apart from one particular team that I'll talk about at the end. But yeah, I think all the games were a little bit better. Maybe not one or two of them, but yeah, I think the quality is good. What are you sort of feeling at the moment?
There's a couple of score lines which belie how close some of these games actually were. And I'm thoroughly enjoying watching the football and trying to see if I can watch eight games a week like an absolute lunatic, but it usually only ends up being six or so.
Yeah, I struggled to get through all eight. So some of these games we're going to talk about, I didn't see all of them. Some of them I watched the little KO minis of, just so I kind of knew basically what happened. But I didn't judge any of them this week. So when I judged them, I watched the full game. But yeah, I didn't get to judge this week because I had a week off, which kind of came at the right time because I had a lot of stuff to do. But we should probably get started. So. Way, 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 way back on Thursday, we had the Roosters up against the Panthers, and I stupidly so just a background of what were our interactions. You're running a competition called the 52%, which is a thing where you
Yes.
pick one team, and I think we've mentioned it before on this. I was 0 for 3, and I thought, look, I'm going to try the old 500 sort of thing. I'm going to try and get everything wrong. I'm going to go for 0 for 27. I'm going to go for it, right? And the week I decided, hey, I'm going to go for it, I went, you know what? I got to get this Penrith one out of the way. And they haven't got Nathan Cleary. The Roosters are going to win for sure. And then freaking Penrith wins. So now I'm one
Have
and
you, have you,
three.
have you, did you check the Roosters' record against the Panthers?
I did, but I stupidly went for it. So anyway, I think you'll notice. I don't want to blow anything, but I think you notice that there's someone else who's joined the Footy and Tipping comp, who is kind of related to me in some way, or that knows the comp via me. He might be 0 and 4, and we might be competing to try and get the worst record.
Yeah, shout out to Nick. Well done, mate. Doing great.
He told me today, he goes, you know what? He goes, I picked a game, it was 50-50. And he goes, if I won, I'd probably start to try and win it. But if I lost, I'm going to keep going for the zero. And I'm like, because he got Canberra, and he goes 0 for 4. I went, you know what? I'm not going to let you get away with it. We're going to fight you the whole way. So I'm going to try for the rest of the season. I'm going to try and pick the loser. I don't know, just because I can't be bothered trying to pick the winners. I figure it's just as hard. It's probably even harder in some senses. But I'm going to give it a go.
Absolutely.
So
Well, talking of
expect us.
losers,
Yeah.
my beloved Roosters. Oh dear.
Oh, they only lost by
Yeah.
six. This when you said some games are a blowout and they're really close. So this game was not close, but got close at the end.
Look, there was a moment in that first half when that, and I understand that JWH, although he was 75 miles past the line of defence, interfered with somebody who was 800 miles away from the ball. So that's a
Yeah, but that guy's
Annesley's
name was
actually come
Dylan
out and said,
Edwards.
no, that was the bunker got it completely wrong. But when that was changed from that was our eight or 10-0, that would have been 8 of 10-6. And at that point, when the Roosters had that disallowed, it just felt like all the wind went out of them. Like they'd come back, they'd got themselves on the board, and then their heads dropped, and after that, it just felt like the Panthers was like, this is our day, we've got this is easy. And I know the Roosters scored around the halftime sort of mark, but they were miles off, and they got beaten up in the middle. And when they kept trying to go right, Sualihi, who's not a decent centre, kept getting swallowed up. I think it was Tongo who was on him, and he just swallowed up everything that he did. And they just, when they tried to go wide, they just kept getting beaten by better centres. And when they tried to go up the middle, they just got battered by their forwards. There were times when the Roosters were doing what, 20, 30 meters, and then their kicking was so poor. They were kicking like 20 or 30 meters, and you're sort of going, well, they were coming off their own goal line for large portions, and it just looked like the ball was always on the halfway line and coming back at them
And
over and
that's the way
over.
the Panthers play. That's why the Panthers have, that's what's built, they've built the success on that. And you'll find that the teams who do well against the Panthers are teams that have got someone who can kick long. And like, obviously my team's an example. When we have Mitch Moses, he can kick the ball 60 on the fly and land it right near the goal line. So if you're on the back foot, at least you don't lose the territory game as badly. But yeah, look at they, yeah, just too good. They're just too good at what they do. And until someone can muscle them through the middle, then they're always going to do that. So,
Yeah, well, I'm a complete coward, so I tipped the Panthers, and I've got that one right, so I wasn't
Well,
too
I also tipped the
disappointed.
Panthers and got it right. But in my normal tipping, I tipped the Roosters because I'm an idiot. Anyway, the 3-2-1. So for the Roosters, Joey Manu got three, Victor Radley got two, and Nat Butcher got one. I'm assuming he meant Nat Butcher because Big T did this one. He just wrote Butcher, and I'm pretty sure Egan
Yeah.
Butcher didn't do enough to get to one
No,
point.
he did not. It was Nat Butcher.
and then for the Panthers, it was Dylan Edwards, Isaac Tango, and Jerome Luai. That sounds about right. I think that's pretty reasonable.
I will not disagree with the Panthers players. Those were 100% their best three. As for us, I'm not sure that I can really honestly give it to any of them. I don't know. That's just, I'll have to go with his picks because I watched it live, but there was no one out there that was standing up and saying, "This is me, I'm grabbing the team." It just, whatever.
Yeah,
Bit of a
no,
nothing result for them.
fair enough. Okay, yeah. So next up was the Rabbitohs against the Bulldogs. So I'll do the 3-2-1 just to give that. So everything was unanimous. Everyone in the DMs, Cameron Murray should got the three, so he did. Jack Whiten got two, and Alex Johnson got one. For the Bulldogs, it was Max King with three, Reid Marnie with two, and Josh Curran with one. I didn't see the game, so I can't really say too much. The turning point from the judge was when Moran went to the sin bin. And then our Rabbitohs friend basically, as he is wont to do, Kev, basically said, oh, well, he should have got sent off. And because someone else said that it was a bit tough, putting in the bin, and then the Rabbitohs played didn't get anything. And it's like, oh, if you got sin bin, then Moran should have got sent off or something. So I don't know. Did you watch the game at all?
I did watch the game. I actually had Whiten down as their best only because he was much more involved and he got on the ball a lot more. And Murray made a couple of errors. So, but I can understand why everyone went for Murray. The guy's just such a good looking chap that I think he deserved it on how good he makes that horrible Christmas elf jersey look. So I'd give him 3 points for that alone.
Yeah, fair enough.
But Cook, I thought, was actually good in patches. Burgess was good in patches. So Mitchell was too many errors. So a bit of a strange one, that one. But the I there was a task, I think it was, should have been sin binned, and that was in the first half.
Yeah, I can't
No,
remember who it was. It was
there was
someone else.
a bunch of things that went South's way, and I this was a game that Bulldogs should have won by 15, 16, 10 to 16 points. That they didn't was both a little bit of a damnation on themselves, not being out, their halves did not know how to put the game away. They did everything but put the game away. And they were just bet the Dogs were better across the park. Like 1 through 17, they were the best team. And it's a bit of a shame that the result went the way it did. I thought
Yeah.
that Curran is excellent. Every week I say that. He's just such a good player. Marnie had was in patches good. Burton again as well. Crichton again. Taff had a solid game. Hutch is not up to it. They need someone else in the halves. So that's, yeah, they need someone else at seven. And I think
No.
I can do something. I
Well,
had
they have
King.
someone
King was
sitting in
their best
reserve for our number
player.
seven, and they won't pick him.
Yeah, well, that's it.
I heard you
I
guys last
actually.
week talking about it, and I was totally agreeing. And I was like, "Yeah, it doesn't make sense. Why are they not picking Toby Sexton? I don't understand."
I don't understand it either. Hutch is good for 30 to 40 minutes and then he looks gassed, like completely gassed. And when you're gassed, you cannot make good decisions. And that's as simple as that. They're not making good decisions in attack and he misses a bit in defense as well. So I just think, yeah, the person who voted on this one absolutely nailed the Bulldogs votes.
Perfect. All right. Let's move on to the next one. So it was the Broncos against the Cowboys. Ended up being a bit of a blowout, this one. The 3-2-1s, they had Adam Reynolds, Paddy Carrigan, and Tristan Saylor. And then for the Cowboys, it was Dearden, McLean, and Kyle Felt. And then their turning point was the try from Ezra Mann with 10 minutes to go. I mean,
Yes, it was.
also the tackle. Someone else
Yes.
said the tackle, but
There was I think the Cowboys' inability to score in the second half with so much possession. There was a Holmes, Cobbo, I think, knocked on with 21 to go. And then with 10 minutes to go, Mam got that try, and that was it, game over. But the Cowboys' inability to score in that second half was as much a turning point as anything else. It's just the Broncos just nullified everything they tried to do, and they were just good across the board. I did the voting here. Reynolds was just yeah, couldn't South do with him. He was brilliant, really, really good. And I thought Tristan Saylor playing a very similar style of game to Reece Walsh was an admirable stand-in for him. He's up tempo, he's on the ball a lot, he's fast, he does fun things. He was great to watch. I really enjoyed it. And yeah, Carrigan and was also just magnificent as usual.
Well, I mean, Tristan Saylor, we saw what he could do at the Dragons in but in little short patches and the Broncos as well. And he kind of feels like it feels like he gets a bit wasted because he's at the Broncos and he's behind someone else, but he's going to get a bit of he gets a bit of a chance now. We'll see. I don't know. It's hard to get into that Broncos team, so I just don't know whether this will just be a small cameo until Reece Walsh is back and then you won't see him again.
To me, he comes across as the sort of player who needs to be in a team that's going forward with high involvement in attack. That's where he's really, really comes to his own. And getting in, that's why he's perfect for cover Reece Walsh. The Broncos will be going forward. They will be doing a lot of it. They will have a lot of field position. And he will be able to get involved. And it's probably why you didn't see the best of him at St. George because they were going backwards a lot and he wasn't getting the space and the time and the ball in a number of places he needed to make that his energy around the ball count. So yeah, I'd like to see him in a team that has a bit of go forward and a bit of field position about them and see what he can do. But yeah, in the meantime, he's certainly too good to be where he is. But we'll see.
All right. Next game, it was the Dragons against the Seagulls, which I think a few people lamented having to watch that game. The 3-2-1 was Jack Bird, Jaden Sewer, and Jack DeBellin for the Dragons. And for the Seagulls, it was Olakau'atu, Garrick, and Kola. I don't know what happened, but Manly just got beaten. It's just I think I've
They
written it wrong.
did not respect the ball and they did not want to hold the ball and they looked like they didn't want anything to do with the ball. They just they were both sides were like it really. It was a very, very high error game. I watched the first 20 minutes and I think we were about 35 errors all and I was like, oh God, this is a punish. And I I watched the next game. I just flicked over and went, oh, I looked at the score and went, okay, I'm just watching the next game. I couldn't even put myself through it.
Yeah.
It was,
The
yeah.
turning point was the Jack de Bellen offload to Eisenhuth that set up for that try that came after that, which I agree with. I was watching that and that was pretty cool pass. So, and it did kind of break him open. So maybe that was the turning point. I only watched this as a KO mini, so I only saw the kind of the highlights. But that looks like it was a big point in the game.
There are a couple of times where you really just want to just make use of those minis, don't you?
I mean, I can't watch eight games a weekend. It's impossible. Well, it is possible, but I also would not be able to do anything else. So it's just not worth it.
I have that kind of life where I can. One life.
But if
I
you
don't have
choose
a
to, you're
life.
not going to choose to waste your time watching the Dragons and the Seagulls. I don't think so.
No, I did watch a movie instead.
Yeah, I would think so. Let's not talk too much about it because that game was depressing with how bad that was. Okay, it's not getting any better. The next one is the Titans against the Dolphins. Yeah, turning point. This one was the Jeremy Marshall King to force the dropout is what we got from, I think it was Aaron who quote did this one. So he gave three to Fifita, two to Brimson and one to Sammy. And he gave three to Jeremy Marshall King, two to Katoa and one to Tom Flegler. What do you think about that?
I had Katoa, Kafusi and Herbie for the Dolphins. So yeah, it was interesting that we only agreed on Katoa. But it was again one of those games where I had lots of positives on the Dolphins, and I could make a case for Avarillo, I can make a case for Marshall King, make a case for Flegler, make a case for
I saw
Kafusi.
Averillo. I actually thought Averillo was quite good too. So yeah, it's pretty
So
hard
there,
to pick one.
even Asako, there was good stuff across the board with them. And as for the Titans, they were good for a period. And then it was all over. And the only person that put up any kind of showing in the second half was David Fifita. I'm not surprised to see him getting 3 points because he played the second half and he was very effective. But every time he did something great, that one of his teammates dropped the ball, knocked it on, went down the wrong passage or got tackled, and it was just everything that he did trying to drag his team along, the rest of his teammates just seemed to balls it up. And Jaden Campbell was started off on fire. He was all positives and then he was all errors, and he was just like rocks and absolute diamonds and rocks. Fodawaker, the same, started off brilliantly and then errors and
I
bullied.
don't know what's going on at the Titans, but look, I'll put it out there that I wasn't one of these people that drank the Kool-Aid and said they were going to be a top eight team. I didn't understand when people were saying they're going to be a top eight team. I looked at the other teams and I was like, they are not to the same quality. But I didn't think they'd be this bad. Like, I didn't think they'd be bottom of the table after four rounds. I thought they would be a bit better than that.
I
I
had
mean,
them sniffing around the bottom of the A, like in that kind of, ninth through 12th, like
that would make
chasing.
most sense.
That's where I had them. And I just, yeah, I just, no, it was just, yeah.
I mean, they
They've been
still might
very,
end
very
up there. This
disappointing.
might just
And
be a bad start, but it's not been a good start.
no, the problem with them is under the last coach, they were adventurous. Under Dez, they're trying to play percentage football and it doesn't suit them. They're
No.
trying to get to the end of their sets. And the thing about Titans is that you need crazy, you need mental, you need lunacy. And that works because no one else is expecting lunacy. And it seems to work for the Titans. But under trying to get through five and then kick for corners and all the rest of it, that's not their game. They're
No.
just, you need absolute mayhem and then something happens. And like last year, they were scoring, 40 and letting in 50 and all sorts of stupid stuff. And Dez is trying to get him to play percentage football. It does not work.
No, definitely doesn't work. All right. Next one was the Warriors against the Knights. So we had Kurt Capewell, sorry, Kurt Capewell, not Kerp. Two of Ushashek and Johnston, or Johnson, sorry. And then for the Knights, it was Kalen Ponga, Tyson Frizzell and Bradman Best. The turning point from our judge was the penalty that led to the penalty goal, which I think was fairly late on. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't actually watch this one, so it looked close, but it just looked like the Warriors were just too good.
Yes, the Warriors were, and it's hard to pick a player for the Warriors who stands out because, like, as with the Knights, they have someone like Ponga or someone like Gamble or someone like Best who would stand out. But the Warriors, all their backs get in and do the work, pull up, do the work, and Adam Neil Blake and Egan and Barnett and Ford and Capewell and Harris, their four pack, they all do good stuff across the board, and even Harris Tavida came off the bench and did good things. It's very hard to pick them. And I did see a tweet today about someone complaining about, oh, they gave Ponga five points in the Dally M's, and why don't they give it all to Warriors players? It's because they all stole the points off each other. They were all equally good. But Ponga, certain players in on the other side do stand out, whereas with the Warriors, they're just the whole team's bloody good. And they're so entertaining to watch. I did watch this one. I thought the turning point was in the 65th minute, where the Knights had three gilt-edged opportunities to score. They were camped on the Warriors line. They didn't. And it was that failure to break through with the scores close near the end. And then that was it. Once they failed to make that, get on the scoreboard at that point, the Warriors knew they had it.
Okay. Yeah, I can't add anything else to that. So, next one up, I don't think either of us watched some of it, but it was the Sharks against the Raiders. Todd put the votes through earlier today, which is Tuesday. And he gave me Cameron McInnes, Nicho Hynes, Ronaldo Militalo, and for the Raiders he gave Tumiko, Tarpany, and Savage. I saw Savage score some good stuff. It looked like he was good early. And then it kind of just went away from them. Apparently Jack Williams was really good as well for the Sharks, but as our Sharks fan who's in that forum was saying. But yeah, I mean Cameron McInnes, I'm glad to see someone give him 3 points because every week he looks like he puts a lot of effort in and he looks like he's great. I'm glad it wasn't Nicho Hynes for once.
Yeah, Cameron McInnes is fast trying to turn himself into Quasimodo. The amount of things he gets knocked times he gets knocked around the head. He's just a nuggety little fellow who charges in there. And God bless him, he was brilliant. He was really, really good. I watched the first 60 minutes of this one. I did miss the end, but McInnes was playing really well. The Raiders started off on fire, and I think Tomoko and the votes are 100% right for the Raiders. Savage was on in the first 20 minutes. He was, going to be man of the match, and then he just made error after error, and you just like it all just went, it all fell apart for him,
Yep,
and he just
definitely.
lost his head, and he just looked out of sorts, and you could see Ricky glaring out the coach's box at him, thinking, "Why did I pick him?" Horsburgh had a really poor game. He was not good, and so the Sharks just came back. Kennedy surprisingly had an appalling game. He was just all the first half, he was just all errors, but missed tackles and drop balls and getting in the way of his own defenders, etc. But him and Talakai, pair of them. But after that, once they started coming back, that was it. No, the rest of the team just did really well.
Did you so what was the turning point? Was it just the errors or
It was the Raiders went away from what they were doing well, and they somehow just started to manufacture errors, and they seemed to get inside their own heads somewhere around the 30-minute mark of that first half. And once the Sharks showed that they were back in it, once they scored, they became full of belief, and that was it. They just seemed to start playing. And then I only watched about 10 minutes, 20 minutes past half time, and then it was, looking very ominous at that point.
Okay, cool. All right, let's get on to the last game of the round. I don't really want to talk about it, but we're going to have to. For Parramatta, it was Clint Gutherson with three, Will Penasini with two, Jermaine Hopgood with one. I'll have some talk about that in a sec. The 3-2-1 for the West Tigers was Aiden Caesar, Api Curacao, and Stefano Mutukumanu. I can't say his name properly and apologize to him. Gutherson was well and truly the 3 points for Parramatta. Jermaine Hookwood should have been the two. I Will Pennicini did some good things with the ball, but I don't know. I just don't think he was that good. But it's really I'd struggle to find a third player. Luka
Brown would have been
Moretti.
my third player.
You know.
Moretti maybe as an
Yeah.
outside. Lane actually, he was strong with the carries, got a lot of meters. I
Yeah.
think over 150. Didn't make any errors, so he was just solid and reliable.
Yep.
Whereas some like Junior Barlow throwing that ball over the sideline and a few other mad things that happened.
Yeah.
And
Yeah, I
Russell did
just.
get himself involved. He stayed out in his wing and didn't come looking for the ball, which I was kind of a little bit critical of.
Yep.
Harper just needs to not be there.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
we'll get to that soon because I'm very glad he's not going to be. But that is, I don't understand. I just didn't understand why he was getting selected. I didn't understand a few other things. I was pretty happy with how the young fella Talangi went. I think he did a pretty good job. Obviously, he did miss the tackle that led to the try that got the Tigers back into the game. And I mean the judge that judged it said that Parramatta's inability to only score and only score a penalty goal while Galvin's in the sin bin was the turning point. I kind of feel like the turning point was probably that try that Galvin fend off of Talangi because it was probably it's actually it's hard to pick a turning point because I feel like the turning point in the game was the point at which Parramatta got to 14-6 and then just went, we don't need to score anymore, and just stopped playing football. They just completely stopped. And then all of a sudden the Tigers scored, and then Parramatta couldn't turn it back on. So it was like, we don't know what we're doing. And then the Tigers, look to their credit, were
Look,
good. But yeah. Oh, did I lose you? I don't know if I lost you or not. That's all right. I'll keep filling
you've
in. Oh,
lost
you're
me.
back. Okay. No, I've got you back. No? Yes? Okay. That's all right. Look, I might sort of jump
I'm
forward.
here,
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me still?
but I can
Okay, cool.
hear you.
That's cool. It might be
But
just a bit unstable. I'm gonna jump forward. I'm gonna jump onto
give me one second.
yeah, cool. No problem. I think we
Hold on,
can.
David. Can
Yeah, that's cool.
you
I'm
hear
just gonna fill in.
me?
Yep. I can hear you.
Just checking I'm on the right.
It's not 5G, but it's the right, you
Try
know.
to try the 5G on. Yeah, go. But it
Okay.
might disconnect.
No, it's okay. I'm just gonna go around getting the screen ready to share and things like that. And then if you're still there, the screen is loading.
No.
I'm just gonna do stuff in the background. Oh. Anyway, I can kind of start to continue with the team lists, and maybe we can maybe pick it up. Maybe what I should do is we should go back out and come back in. We might do that. Let's stop the recording. Okay. I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna do the right thing.
Okay.
Okay, so yeah, we're gonna do team list. So the internet got a little bit unstable there, so I hope we didn't lose too many people from not being able to hear us properly. But yeah, we'll jump straight into the game. So Thursday night we've got the Storm against the Broncos. A notoriously Storm Broncos goes one way, but you never know. Major changes basically. Storm have got Cameron Munster back. Then we've got Jerome Hughes back. So they're looking a bit more, and Christian Welch as well. They look a lot more like they should be. And then basically, the Broncos have just named young fella Ben Tikura to make his debut for Xavier Wilson, who's gone out. I mean, It's hard to take a line from last week because the Storm really didn't have a half, didn't have their halves, but they were still pretty good. The Broncos were excellent. I don't know, what do you think about Storm Broncos?
Yeah, a difficult one to pick, and it's one of these ones I will be staying away from with the 52% competition. Look, Melbourne in Melbourne with their halves back, you've got to give them a chance. Look, I'm just looking forward to a really good game. I have no idea which way this one's going to go. Maybe, yeah, Melbourne just because of the home advantage, but that four pack for the Broncos just looks a bit better balanced, doesn't it?
It does. It does. I look, I didn't, yeah, I'm just not sure. Look, it feels like with their halves back that I probably would go Melbourne, I think, but and they were good last week with no halves. So yeah, look, I
Yeah.
feel like that's probably the way it should go. Next one's going
If
to be
Haas
the
was there, I'd be giving Brisbane a much stronger chance if
yeah I
Haas
feel
was
like
there.
Brisbane are not quite there with the forwards. Yeah, so the early game, I'm assuming you're probably going to get to see this one, the Bulldogs against the Roosters. Bulldogs, I should just check the thing at the bottom. It tells you who's in and out. So Adakar's out from a concussion. So it brings Blake Wilson back into the side. Jacob Preston's out. Kurt Morin's out. And so Josh Curran joins the starting pack. And Harrison Edwards comes onto the bench with Kitione Katoga-Tokonga. I don't know how to say his name, but he's a young fellow. I haven't seen him before. And the Roosters, Lindsay Collins is back. Terrell May goes back to the bench. Egan Butcher, he drops out, does he? Drops back to the reserves. And that says Angus Crichton has been named to start in the back row with Sitili Tupanua moving to the bench. I think the biggest thing for this is they've gone back, reloaded again with Kerryon Walker. There was a bit some talk during the week about, maybe that's not the combination they should be going with. I think you talked about this already last week, but are you still happy? Are you happy enough that it's Kerryon Walker?
I really do not like Kerryon Walker in the halves together. I just don't. Neither of them have got a strong kicking game. If you are coming out of your backfield and you're running off your own line and your forwards aren't doing the job, they've got no room and they cannot kick you out of trouble. I don't like it, and they offer too many opportunities to forwards to go through the middle. They create too many gaps in the defensive line because of their size. You can carry one small half, you cannot carry two. And Kiri is getting slower, and I love him, but yeah, I did not like when they chose the two together as a halves pairing 2 or 3 years ago. I was like, you can't do this. It's not going to end well, and it hasn't. They just have not gelled. They both play a heads up running, non-controlling kind of game, and you cannot have two halves who play too similar a game. Doesn't work. So yeah, I don't like it. Hopefully against the Dogs they get the job done, but yeah,
Yeah,
I think
look, I don't
the Dogs are
think
getting better,
the Dogs are
and that
getting
won't
better,
be
but I
a
think the Roosters should win, but we'll see what happens. But yeah, I'd be very surprised to see the Bulldogs win, but maybe not so surprised. I think the Roosters are too good for them.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would have liked to have seen the Roosters go and get Fogarty when he was available on the market and the Titans didn't want him. I was like, well, the guy's got a good kicking game, solid in defense. Bring him down and play him with Walker. And they just didn't seem to put that one together.
No. Well, I think a lot of clubs kind of slept on Jamal Fogarty a little bit. But yeah, I mean, that's been him for his whole career, basically, right up until he actually got a chance. Because he actually came down and played reserve grade at Parramatta for a few years, like probably about 3 or 4 years before he made his first grade debut. And yeah, he
He
had
was
like
an
1 year.
Australian schoolboy halfback,
I know,
and
it's
he just never
ridiculous,
did
isn't it? He just couldn't crack it anywhere.
it.
And yeah, I couldn't figure it out because he was good. But they just wouldn't give him a go. Yeah, so next game is the Knights against the Dragons. So they've gone with Jackson Hastings instead of Tyson Gamble now. Feels like they just keep changing the halves around. Dane Gagai comes back. Leo Thompson's back from suspension. They've got Jaden Bradley starting at hooker, so they've stopped the Phoenix Crossland hooker experiment. And yeah, the Dragons are basically Moko Moeleo coming in for Hamasele. And that's pretty much it. Pretty much everything else the same. Have I lost you?
Can you hear me now?
Yep, can hear you now.
Yeah. These team lists are strange. They both teams have got four ins and zero outs. So it looks like they're going to be playing with 21 players each, which is interesting.
No, yeah, I don't know how that
The
works.
reserves is the reserve
Yes, the
numbers that
reserve
are.
ones, yeah. Well, look,
Yeah.
I think it's, I mean, Dane Gagai is huge. Jackson Hastings, I still don't understand what the halves are, what they're doing with the halves at the Knights. Like, it was Hastings and Gamble, which I thought was one of the worst combinations in the league. And then they went, oh no, Hastings not good enough, put Jack Cogger in there. And then they go, no. Hastings is better than Gamble, so they swapped it again. And I don't think that between Jackson Hastings, Jack Cogger, and Tyson Gamble, you're getting anything but a honest average half. Like all three of them are about the same. There's no real difference
Yeah.
between them, and it's just like rearranging them around is not going to do anything.
I think you're 100% right. I thought that last year Gamble and Hastings seemed to complement each other, but they're trying to fit Jack Cogger into that hole as well, and I'm not sure they really kind of worked out what how they're going to do it. I do want to give a massive rap to Kai Pierce-Paul in the Hyperems. I actually had him down as probably one of the best players on the Knights team last week. He didn't get a vote. So, yeah, he seems to be warming to the task. Frizzell is, winding back the clock a little bit, but they just do lack that final execution. They rely too heavily on Kalyn. And they were looking for Bradman best ways to get him into the game, and he started to do that. But they haven't quite resolved their halves
No,
conundrum
I don't think it's going to
as
matter against the Dragons because I ideally don't think the Dragons are going to be anywhere close to the Knights. But I mean, never know, they might. But I feel like, I feel like the Dragons are doing well with what they've got, but that's not going to win you more games than lose games. So yeah, I.
I think that the Newcastle have got more in the middle, and they've got a, they should be able to win the forward. The field position battle, and if they can do that and somehow try and work out how to unlock some of their backs, get the halves involved, then they should get away with this one, especially at home. You've got to think they're blue favourites.
Yeah. So the next one is an interesting one. Rabbitohs against the Warriors. I remember last year the Rabbitohs went to the Warriors' home ground and weren't looking too healthy and all of a sudden pulled a win out of nowhere. So this is the opposite. Obviously, they're playing at a core, they're not playing at every New Zealand. But I'm not sure if I give the Rabbitohs much of a chance. So Alex Johnston is out with a hamstring injury. So, Isaac Thompson comes in and Shaq Mitchell is out after failing an HIA. So Sean Kepi is back. Ooh, that's not good. Dean Hawkins is going to be playing again and it's still Lachlan Elias in the reserves. The Warriors have got CNK is his name for the first time. Roger Tuivasa-Sheck goes back to center. Tamari Martin comes in to replace Luke Metcalf. That's pretty good. Murata Nikore gets to start the second row in place of Kurt Capewell, Tom Ale, and Freddie Lustig, new additions to the bench. Yeah. Look, I don't know what's going on with the Rabbitohs. And I think I said this maybe in round one or round two after in this podcast. And I think I said either the Rabbitohs are going to just completely fall off a cliff or they're going to be brilliant. They're not going to stay in the middle there. Like, so I feel like maybe unjustified because they look like they're about to plummet. I just don't know what's going wrong there. I think maybe when they made their decision a few years ago that Lachlan Ealis was the guy, and then now they've decided that he's not the guy. I feel like that's kind of playing on them. You said Jack White had a good game, but I'm not sure whether signing Jack White was their best move. I just don't know.
Nobody, and it doesn't help that his partner is missing, because he then needs to learn how somebody else is playing, and it just takes longer to settle in when you have too many different combinations changing around you all the time.
Yeah. I mean, the Warriors have got a new combination again this week, and so that's going to make it tough again. But I feel like Tamari Martin's the kind of guy that just comes in, plugs in, and he's fine. It's a shame Metcalf's out, but I feel like that's not going to lose that much for them. And
I
I'm a
think
massive,
Metcalf has been absolutely brilliant. I think it will be more of a shortfall in the halves than you sort of think. I think he complements Sean Johnston so well, and he just seems to be he pops up at the right time and does the right thing. So, look, I think I said earlier that the Warriors were one of those teams that just across the board they are strong everywhere, and they're all playing together, and they seem to believe in each other. So I'm going to say that I think the Warriors can get the job done. But look, South's got lucky. They snagged the win they didn't deserve last week. And sometimes that's what you need to get a bit of belief and get a bit of momentum behind the team. So maybe we'll see. But I'm going to go with the Warriors, but don't write off the Rabbitohs.
Yep, fair enough. I think the Warriors will win too. So next one, we've got the Seagulls against the Panthers at the Asbestos Pit. So Seagulls look like they're pretty much going to go the same. It's mentioned something about Matt Lodge returning to training, but he's not obviously back in yet. The Panthers have got Fisher Harris back. Maverick guy makes way. Brad Schneider on number seven again. Yeah. So look, I think they're good enough. Like I said, there's a bit of a system there at Penrith, and I don't think that. I mean, Manly's a side that could be quite good against them because of Cherry Evans, and he does have that good kicking game. But I can't see it. I can't see Manly getting anywhere close to Penrith. But we'll see what happens.
I think Penrith out wide will just kill those Manly outside backs. I think Jackson Paulo is up for a very, very, very hard time. Look, it crush it breaks your heart, doesn't it? How much the Panthers have to suffer, only having James Fisher-Harris come back into the team. I mean, it's just, it must be so hard on their supporters. Seeing this stuff happen, my God, what a team. I've got to give it to the Panthers. I think they're going to be a shoe-in here. I can't see Manly. And someone did mention the other day that with Manly, the coach has seen an awesome start with the team with a 2-0, and then it all went to pot after that. And I really hope the same thing doesn't happen with this team. This happened when he was at the Broncos.
Yeah, I mean it could. You never know. You never know. And man, look, people were talking Manly up so much after the, especially after the Vegas game, and then the second week, and then they, like, third week, I feel like they were kind of in the game against Parramatta, but it didn't really work out. But geez, they were just abhorrent last weekend. So we'll see what happens. You never really know. But I mean, if there's a chance, there's definitely a chance, but I just think Penrith are going to be too good for him.
I see Cherry Evans surpassing Cliff Lyons with his 310th game.
Yes. Yeah, I saw
That is
that.
amazing. That is amazing. Yeah. Anthony Seibold. Yeah, I'm start washing your back.
All right. Next one up, we've got the Dolphins against the West Tigers. So this is, I think, one of the most interesting games. I was having a chat about this one earlier with someone, and I just was like, I don't really know what to expect. The Dolphins, the Dolphins have had some reasonable games. The West Tigers on two in a row, but they don't have Lachlan Galvin now. So basically, the change is Ray Stone gets to start. I'm a massive Ray Stone booster, so I love that. Kenny Bromwich coming onto the bench. Sione O'Sullivan and Jared Wallace are in the reserves. And then, like I said, Jaden Sullivan's going to come in for Lachlan Galvin. And then Latu Fainu is going to join the bench for his debut, NRL debut. And then Alex Twol, has returned as well, so it means that Capoeira is going back to reserves. I'm not sure. I mean, I'm a typical Parramatta fan, and I think the Parramatta really should have won by about 30 on Monday. And I thought the West Tigers' defence was good at times, but I thought they only had to defend what was thrown at them, and there was some pretty abject attack coming thrown at them. The Dolphins against the Titans, I mean, the Titans kind of fell apart. So I just don't know. I don't know what the form line is for these two teams. So I'm not sure who's actually playing well or who's just coming against opposition that's not quite up to it.
Yeah, look, I would like to see O'Sullivan and Katoa in the halves instead of Nikorima, and Katoa. I think that the guy at the Tigers who had a very, very hard day at the office was Fatape, the centre. And if Averillo or Farnworth, whoever he's up against this week, is on point, they will make his life miserable. Him and Charlie Staines were sixes and sevens at times. I think Charlie Staines dug him out of a couple of holes when he did make a few errors. And Tupou was good on the wing. That could be an advantage for the Tigers. I think the Tigers bench of Seyfarth and Fainu could be a danger here. If Seyfarth can get those errors out of his game, he was brilliant. He just too many errors, but the efforts and the things he does well are really good. Things he does bad just take the shine off it. Kerr for the Dolphins has been good off the bench in the first few weeks. Ray Stone's nice to see him playing in. So I'm going to go with the Dolphins. I really think it's going to be back to earth with a bump for the Tigers, but this one is going to be a fascinating watch. And if the Tigers do nick it, I wouldn't be surprised. But I'm gonna go safe bet. Safe for money would go on the Dolphins here.
It feels like a game that could just do anything, and it feels like we'll watch it and something strange will happen. So, look, I'm hopeful for it.
I
Okay,
think
that's good.
Wanye will outthink his old protege, and and get the biscuits, I think.
Yep, cool. So second last game, we've got the Cowboys against the Titans. Cowboys are the same 17, so nothing really happens there. The Titans have decided to make some changes, or they've had to make some changes. They've got two new wingers. They've got Jojo Fifita and Harley Smith-Shields. So whoever's doing the game for the Titans, if you write Fifita, please write Jojo or David. if one of them gets the points. So that's to replace Pulisamy and Cam Pereira, who are well, Cam Pereira hasn't been named. David Fifita has come off the bench again. Isaac Liu's out, so that brings in Jamin Joloff. Aaron Clark starting at lock, and Josiah Pahulu called in for debut from the interchange bench in the absence of Keenan Palisina quad. I'm reading that off NRL.com. I mean, the Titans had to do something, and it looks like they've done something. Looks like some of them are actually forced, but two new wingers. Who knew that wingers were going to solve all your problems?
Well, look, Harley Smith-Shields, he's English, right?
Is he?
Is he? Or
I
am I
don't think
thinking
he
of the other
is.
guy, Smithies at Canberra?
I don't know if
No, I
he's
thought.
English. I'm not sure. All I know is Harley Smith-Shields was the one that Parramatta said, "Hey, we'll take Harley Smith-Shields and we'll give you Ethan Sanders." And they went, "No, that's fine." And then they get rid of Harley Smith-Shields anyway. So who knows what the fuck that's going to be
I thought he was
about.
in the Super League a few years ago, but yeah, look, I think that they're struggling with whatever they do at the moment. The Titans, no Tino, they've got players playing out of position. Aaron Clark's good off the bench, but I don't think he's a starting lock forward. They're struggling, and they look gassed half the time, 15, 20 minutes into a game. They just look like they're gassed all the time. So they look like they're just struggling, and they just don't seem to understand what the game plan is or how to execute it. And they make errors, turn the ball over in terrible positions too often. And if they do that against the Cowboys will absolutely chew them up.
Yeah, definitely. I don't see. I mean, if When I'm talking about doing the 52%, if I need a guaranteed loser, I might take the Titans because I just don't see any way they can win this. I'm going to say this now, and they're going to win, but I just don't see it. I don't know what's going on, but yeah. Look,
Just checked. Harley Smith Shields is from Canberra.
yep.
And when I'm in Canberra, I think I'm in my hometown of Milton Keynes. So that's
It's
where the
very
confusion came
similar. It does feel like they're almost the same thing.
from. Just full of roundabouts, concrete, and not a lot else. So yeah, absolutely the same thing.
Yeah, no, I thought he was from Canberra. Okay, let's move on to the last one of the round. So, talking of Canberra, so the Raiders against the Eels. The Raiders have made, they've lost Zach Hosking, so they put Adam Mariota in. And then they've brought in Simi Sisaegi from the bench. And Elliot Whitehead's still out. Thank fucking Christ. Bailey Simons has been recalled in the centres with Morgan Harper making way. That's the best thing I've read all day. And then, I mean, Bryce Cartwright's still out. They've decided to move Madison to the edge back rower. Weimer Gregg is going to come back in the 17. They've dropped Brennan Hands. I think it's a stronger Eels team, but against Canberra in Canberra, I don't give them much hope. So, we'll see what happens. But if they play like they did against the Tigers, it could be a really long afternoon.
It all depends on whether you get the Raiders of the first 20 minutes last week or the Raiders of the last 20 minutes last week. It could all be down to them. You almost, if they don't get out of each other's way, and if the Raiders get on a roll and keep their heads, it's going to be a very difficult afternoon for the Eels, especially lacking Moses in the halves. Maybe Talangi's better for the run and with alongside Dylan Brown, but yeah, I do think the Raiders at home have the advantage, but there's certainly chinks in their armor. There's certainly places where the Eels can absolutely get them, and if they get that rotation right, I would like to see Joe O start and Barlow come off the bench again. That worked for them. It's a better balance for the team to have that combination coming on later. And but I'm going to go with the Raiders, but I think the Eels could sneak one here.
Yeah, I mean they've got it now because they lost a home one, so they've got to try and pick up an away game.
And Bailey Simonson, you're absolutely right. Much better
Oh,
option.
he's heaps better. He was available last weekend. He was available on Monday, but they decided to go with Morgan Harper again. And it was 1 week too much for Morgan Harper, I think. I think that the what when you sort of talked about Blaise Talangi, I hope that Dylan Brown plays a bit better because what I found with Dylan Brown was that every time they did that play to the left, he just chose the wrong option every time. Once he went short and they shut it down. Once he went long and they shut it down. Like it was almost like Charlie Staines was in his head. He knew exactly where he was going. He got rushed once and threw a forward pass. Like I think Charlie Staines was really good defensively for the Tigers on Monday, and but I don't know whether it was just because he was good or just because Dylan Brown kept making the wrong options. So I think in any of those three cases, if he chooses a different option, it's a completely different game because, Parramatta go down the other end and scores. But he basically just read his mind three times in a row. And, like you were sort of saying, with the games where, you feel like Fatu, what's his name, Fatima P, whatever his name, was having a bad game. And Charlie Staines was saving him every time. So, we'll see what happens. But yeah, look, I don't disagree with you. I think that the forward battle is going to be interesting. I think Canberra's got a lot more going for it, when they're really on, especially the halves. But look, we'll see what happens. I'm not saying they're not going to win Parramatta, but I'm a bit suspicious of anyone telling me that they should be favourite or anything like that.
What I've seen of Talangi and Brown together is that they are two players who are very similar, heads up, instinctive type of players. They're not the driving you around the field kind of guys and controlling guys. And I think that maybe that's one area where the Raiders will take advantage.
Look, I think it's very, I mean, this is the Parramatta way to have halves that like to run. That's what Moses is too. But the kicking game is where they were missing, and they just didn't really have it, and I worry about that as well. But look, we'll see what happens. I'm not totally ruling them out, but I think Canberra have got to be favourites for this one.
Yeah, I think you're right.
All right, I think that might be all we got. I might have to head off and get ready for something else I'm doing later on. But
Good
thanks
luck
very
with
much for
that, by the
joining
way.
me.
You're welcome. And thank you for having me again.
No
It's an absolute
problem.
joy.
I'm very happy that you turn up every week. Like you guys said last week, if any of the other HyperMs judges want to jump on with us, it's not just a two-person show. We can have more opinions, and yeah, should be good.
Absolutely. And I'm sure the listeners will all want to hear someone else's voice other than mine.
Probably don't want to hear mine either, but
Absolutely.
we're still here.
Thanks,
All right, all good. Thank you, Richard. I'll talk to you later.
David. Take care.